Hey, it's Kyle Meredith, host of the Kyle Meredith With podcast, presented by WFPK at WFPK.org and the Consequence Podcast Network. It's a series that puts the spotlight on iconic musicians and actors, inviting them to drop by and talk about their latest projects, whether it's albums, TV shows, films, or beyond.
I'm going to say something I don't want to say. Here it goes. Without Spinal Tap, there is no Tenacious D.
Whoa. Man.
We get great stories and the biggest scoops from people like Garbage's Shirley Manson, the 1975's Matty Healy, Jack Black and Kyle Gass of Tenacious D, Maya Hawke, Kiefer Sutherland, and everyone in between. New episodes arrive every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover some new ones. You can find Kyle Meredith With on the Consequence Podcast Network or wherever you get your podcasts.
To find out what's really going on behind the music, sometimes you have to dig deep. I'm Dr. Mike, and on the new season of Going There, we're doing just that.
Art or music can be your escape and your therapy.
Going There is the podcast at the crossroads of music and mental health, where we have raw, meaningful conversations with artists like Noah Kahan, Julian Baker, Jason Isbell, Youngblood, The Head and the Heart, and Bishop Briggs.
I recently heard someone describe grief as glitter, where you'll clean it up and then you'll find little pieces.
By opening ourselves up to these real discussions about mental health, we can foster understanding and gain even greater appreciation for the music we all love.
For me, like, my favorite songs give me happy tears.
So join me and some of your favorite artists on the new season of Going There with Dr. Mike, brought to you by Sound Mind Live and the Consequence Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Tour set, pop!
So a while back on Twitter, I shared my personal Snapchat account because I had been posting a lot of cooking videos, like cook with me videos. Mm-hmm. And so I just wanted to open that up to anybody who might want to watch. And one of our listeners, an iconic Mari from Norway, she added me on Snapchat, and ever since then, we've just kind of talked back and forth every once in a while. She lives this, like, beautiful life in the mountains in Norway. Like, she, it's still snowy there. It's, like, May, and she's like, oh my gosh, why is it still snowy? But she's going on these beautiful hikes and, like, with her dog and with her family. And I just see, like, all of these amazing, like, she sends me these amazing snaps. And we just kind of talk back and forth, and we've gotten to know each other a little bit. And it's been awesome. So I got home from a weekend with my parents just to see my mom for Mother's Day. Mm-hmm. And I had a package waiting for me for my birthday. It's my birthday this week.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Happy birthday, Kayla. When we release this episode, it'll be your birthday.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But anyways, so I got a present from my mom, and it was all 7 of the BTS Barbie dolls.
Yeah.
So I posted it on my Snapchat story, and I also sent it directly to Mari because we, like, you know, we'll talk about BTS stuff, obviously. Mm-hmm. And she replied, and she was like, oh my God, like, your mom is so sweet. And I was like, yeah, she's, you know, she's pretty wonderful. It's Mother's Day. And, you know, so we were celebrating. And she had shared that she is not in contact with her mom anymore. It was her own decision, but, aww, you know, it's just her life is better off now. But she just said sometimes she just misses having a mom.
Wow.
And so I said, okay, well, my mom will adopt you. And she was like, what? I want to be adopted. And so I texted my mom and I kind of explained like the background info to her. Mm-hmm. And I was like, so this is my friend. Like, you know, just so you know, you're adopting her. You have a new daughter now. And my mom was like, okay, well, I'll add her to the prayer list. And was like, okay, she's adopted. And so I messaged her and we were like, adoption complete. So, and we even, we started like calling each other like sis back and forth, and like we've just been like keeping each other updated throughout like the day. So yeah, I adopted a new sister,
an army
friend from Norway.
That is so sweet. I'm surprised you've kept that from me this whole time.
It was so hard to keep it from you, but I was like, I think this is the story that I want to share at the beginning of this. And I did talk to her and make sure that it was okay before sharing. So I did have permission to share this. But
wow, that's so sweet. And that's so thoughtful of you to just want to reach out to your own mom. And
I mean, I just thought it was so fun and cute. And I just love, you know, making connections like that. So
yeah.
Anyways,
wow, that's so sweet.
Thanks. On that note, welcome back, Iconics. And if you're new to the podcast, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany. And this is Stanning BTS.
Yes.
Yes. Welcome to another wonderful episode where we get to hang out for about an hour and just talk about BTS.
What a wonderful hour it is, too. But disclaimer, this is an informative fangirl podcast. That means that we're going to fangirl, laugh, and learn a little bit along the way.
Yep, that's right. This is an explicit podcast, though, so if you aren't cool with that, you can dip out now. We won't blame you.
Totally. But if you're down for some, Kim Namjoon is so damn hot.
He is so damn hot. Unfair.
Unfair.
Or Namjoon is the kindest, most selfless person on this planet.
Yes, he is. If you're down for that, then you're in the right place, because today we are talking about BTS's leader, Kim Namjoon. But before we get into it, we want to say thank you, Iconics, for being here and for supporting us. If you would like to support us even further and have access to our Google Docs full of episode notes, important links, and pictures, you can do that by donating monthly to our Patreon at patreon.com/stanningbts.
Or if you'd like, you can make a one-time donation at paypal.me/stanningbtspodcast. Your support helps us to improve the quality of our content and to continue putting out weekly episodes. Any type of support you guys have to offer is super appreciated. Just a reminder that the charity of the month for the month of May is visual communications. So in celebration of Asian Pacific American Heritage Month for 2020, we're choosing to donate to the nonprofit organization Visual Communications. And their mission is to develop and support the voices of Asian American and Pacific Islander filmmakers and media artists who empower communities and challenge perspectives. VC is the first nonprofit organization in the U.S. to dedicate to the honest and accurate portrayals of the Asian Pacific American peoples, communities, and heritage through the media arts. The organization has created award-winning productions, nurtured and given voice to their youth and seniors, promoted new artistic talent, presented new cinema, and preserved visual history. So please donate along with us either through our Patreon or by checking out the links in the description. Also, I put a link in the description for AsianPacificHeritage.gov/exhibits and collections, because they have online exhibits and collections where you can go and just see a lot of their heritage and their culture. And it's just a really great way to go and look at that online, instead of, since a lot of us aren't able to go and look at museums and stuff that we would normally do. So definitely check that out.
This is a super awesome and really important cause to donate towards. So please, guys, join in this month with us and donate along to Visual Communications. So we're talking about Namjoon today, and a lot of you guys might know that episode number 2, the second episode that we ever did, was titled Our Leader, and it was all about Namjoon, right?
Yeah.
So we just feel that over time, we have learned so much more about methods and modes of research. We've really improved our ability to find sources and to find information. And we feel like we can do him even more justice now than we did way back in 2018. So, you know, and there's also more content about him to cover now. And this topic has been requested that we revisit.
We revisit. Namjoon. Yeah.
So this is our leader, Redux. Yep.
Redux. Yes. Yeah. That's a great name for this episode. So just an overview of this episode. We're briefly going to get into background information on Kim Namjoon. If you're interested in knowing more of the background information, definitely check out our second episode. But then we're going to get into his personality, some of his interests and hobbies. We'll talk a lot about pre-debut because we learned a lot of new information that we had no idea about Namjoon for pre-debut. Then we'll get into his role in BTS, solo projects that he's done, and then we're going to finish the episode with some of our all-time favorite Kim Namjoon moments.
Yeah, and a lot of these, especially in that last part of the episode, are definitely geared towards things since 2018, since we last got to discuss him. Yeah, because this is almost like a continuation of, you know, our first episode about him. So, obviously, his name is Kim Namjoon, but he does have some stage names and some nicknames. I don't know, brand new armies might not know maybe that he was formerly Rap Monster, and now he's RM, which doesn't stand for Rap Monster. It stands for Real Me. He just changed it because he said that it suited him more and it fit him better. He's also lovingly by ARMY referred to as June, Junie, Moony, Namjoonie, Namu, and also Mr. President.
Mr. President.
I'll say that Namjoon stands really can get crazy with nicknames too. So things like Daddy Longlegs comes up, things like Zaddy comes up. I mean, like there are just endless possibilities of nicknames for him. He's also,
I call him June a lot.
I call him June or, Junie a lot. Cause I just feel like it's cute, but I typically will just call him Namjoon. Like if I'm tweeting or something, so he is 5 feet, 11 inches tall or 181 centimeters.
So he's tall.
He's tall.
His birthday is September 12th, 1994. 94 line, what's up? I was born in 94, so I just love that both him and J-Hope were born in 94 and Supreme Boy. His astrology sign is Virgo. And so Kayla ended up finding these just astrology sign posters or like memes or whatever that you found on social media somewhere. So we're going to just kind of go through Virgo and some of the characteristics and skills and activities of Virgos that Kayla found. And we just kind of want to see if it fits Namjoon at all.
Yeah. So this is from, I think Sole Lunastro, is their handle. It says that like, so this is almost like a resume, like their address would be 6 Perfectionist Possible Road, Virgo season is the city. And then their phone number 1-800-AVOIDANCE or their email. I can fix that at email.com. I feel like the email could describe him. I can fix that at email.com.
For skills, it says problem solving, identifying patterns, project management, giving unsolicited advice. I can see that.
Yeah, I can see all of these so far.
Knowing more than I let on, for sure.
Oh yeah,
for sure. He knows so much, but
he's a fucking genius. Yeah,
yeah, but I feel that he downplays himself a lot. Remembering useless information, for sure. Organizing spreadsheets, handling and noticing the details, definitely.
Yeah.
Telling people why they're wrong, identifying people's weaknesses, making my chaotic mind and life appear organized. Yeah. I think he does have a bit of a chaotic mind.
Yeah, I think so. I don't think that he necessarily tells people why they're wrong, but I do think that he guides people in a better direction, like what he thinks is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So extracurricular activities of a Virgo: stress crying, getting easily annoyed, maybe not taking my own advice.
Yes.
Overthinking myself into a panic.
Oh,
probably selectively socializing. I feel selectively socializing really describes him. Things that we'll get into later. Yeah. Policing people's grammar and hoarding receipts to use later as evidence, like screenshots and stuff.
Both of those. I can see him doing that.
He's such a Virgo. Yeah. Like, yeah.
He is.
Mm-hmm. Wow, I didn't expect to like agree with so many of these, thinking that he was suited with so many of these, but I really do feel that way.
I didn't expect it to fit that perfectly.
Yeah.
Maybe just because I felt Sagittarius did not fit me at all.
No, the one for you did not, but the Taurus one for me definitely suited me. I feel like the majority of the way. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're going to talk about blood type a little bit because this is more of a Korean culture thing. So he is blood type A. We kind of reviewed a lot of the significance of blood types in Korea in previous episodes for all the member episodes. But people with blood type A are said to be diplomatic, friendly, down to earth, and sensitive. They can take some time to open up to others and are good at hiding their feelings.
I feel like that's that can be descriptive of him too. Mm-hmm. Like in his leader role, he has to be diplomatic. These are all, I mean, I think that he's a sensitive person too. And yeah, maybe he might take time to open up, or the way that he opens up is through music.
Yeah, I think he would take a while to warm up to people fully before being... I guess like showing himself fully to people before, like he would take his time doing that.
Oh, I think so too. So we just had some additional kind of characteristics that stuck out to us as traits of his on top of these things. One way to describe him that always comes to mind is humble, and also very hardworking. I think you could say this about any member of BTS, but I do think that a lot of this attitude really comes from him, and like he's always an exemplary person in his humility and in his work ethic. So
I think being the leader, he has so much responsibility and feels so much responsibility. More so than maybe some of the other members, and especially along with the lyrics and the songwriting that goes on that he has to do. He's so hardworking, and to be in this position of leader of the biggest boy group in the world right now, to be as humble as he is really just goes to show truly how humble of a person he is.
Yeah.
When I think of traits and characteristics of him, I really think of dorky and quirky.
Mm-hmm.
And this isn't all the time. When he's on stage, he doesn't really present this way. When he's in a position where he's doing speeches or interviews, he doesn't really come off this way, but it's really like the run episodes and the behind the scenes that we see this really kind of dorky guy. And I think it really contributes to his charm, his natural charm. You think of him as charming.
I do. Well, I think of him as charming in that way of his dorkiness, his quirkiness is charming because it's so not something that he's trying to do. Like he's not trying to turn on charm.
Yeah.
It's so endearing. Often in those moments, I just think he has like this, the widest smile on with those deep dimples. And, you know, I mean, it does come
bashful.
Off. Yeah. To me, that's like comes off as charm, like inadvertently charming with his dorkiness. I also think that he's a member in the group who is very wise. I think that you and I feel and talk a lot about that, like, he really counsels the Machiné line. Like, a lot of the three Machinés always go to him to talk about things and to, you know, discuss problems or whatever. And I think that he has a certain wisdom about him. Like, he's well read and he's just a good listener. And I think that he just uses that to help other people, which is awesome. And it goes along with the next thing on the list about him, which is selfless. I think that he gives so much of himself to other people, and also, like, to ARMY. When he writes, he really writes from within himself and what he truly feels and what he truly wants to say, and how much he gives himself over to everybody, I think, is so selfless.
He's definitely very selfless and wise. And we, doing this research, we've really come to see how much he's assisted a lot of the other members through songwriting and just being a leader for BTS and encouraging them through those difficult times. Definitely wise and selfless, even with a little bit of the Break the Silence documentary that we've gotten to see so far. Hearing him talk about the future, just even at the end of the second episode when he's talking about the future is in the future. It's called the future for a reason, because it's not right now, and he's wanting to focus on the present. And you hear that kind of in everyday life. You hear people say those kinds of words, but hearing it from him, it's like full wisdom being thrown at me, that he's just so poetic in the way that he presents it. He's nothing but just extremely wise.
Yeah, and it seems so genuine, like he really lives that way, or at least really practices to live that way, you know, living in the present, not living in the future. And I also thought of, like, a selfless moment would be when he was helping Jimin write the lyrics of Promise and just review. I mean, just spending so much time, and we already saw that going on in Bon Voyage, and to see it again here, and, you know, just really, you know, giving himself over to his members to help them. Yeah. I just love it.
And I think that leads really well into our next characteristic that we've both kind of thought about, is we both think that he is very discerning, that he has really good judgment. And I think that goes with, he's just a man of integrity, and I think can just being around people understand a little bit, and he listens really well, and that he can kind of judge for the better, not judgmental in a bad way, you know, like he just, I think, understands people a little bit more, which goes to us thinking that he has a good amount of emotional intelligence too, him, that I think a lot of us know that he's super smart. He's a genius, but I do think that he has this emotional intelligence to him that makes him even better of a person. You know, it just really outweighs the textbook knowledge.
Yeah, I feel like he's really tuned in.
He is really tuned in and open-minded too. That when I see him especially collaborate with members like Taeyang, who is just not your ordinary person, very unique, very different personality that maybe can be challenging at times, but he seems so patient and willing to take the time to get to know someone and not be judgmental or resistant to new ideas.
And I think he does have the emotional intelligence to understand how somebody is thinking and feeling about something, and really pull it out of them. I was thinking about his interactions with Taeyang. I was also thinking again about that Break the Silence, him writing, you know, him working on Promise with Jimin. It was all he was doing. It reminded me of, like, such a teacher thing. He was really just listening to what Jimin was saying and trying to convey and just pulling it out of him. But it was, you know, and I think that really speaks to that discerning emotional intelligence. Like, I just was floored by that. I thought that was an incredible characteristic.
That was so cool to watch, to see him and Jimin write that song together and to really take what Jimin was saying and not write the song for him, but to, and you know, bring that out of Jimin himself and just guide him through it, really.
Yeah.
Really inspiring to watch. He has a talent. He's incredible. Ugh. Love Namjoon. Okay, we're already getting there.
We're already so full of love right now.
Lastly, we just have to say that he's not the most careful with his physical actions. This is something that a lot of us know, and it's maybe more of a stereotype about him in the earlier stages of BTS that we don't really want to revisit so much with recent, you know, how he's grown kind of out of that. But still to this day, he's just, it's not like he's careless. He just sometimes isn't the most careful. I think I explained to you that sometimes when he's doing things, I feel like he's rushing through it or doing it way quicker and maybe just not taking his time.
Like his mind is working faster than his body is going to keep up with or something.
Yeah, he kind of comes off as clumsy or uncoordinated. But I think one of the most recent things that happened since we did his episode forever ago, or our second episode, that I was just astounded when I found out this piece of information. But Namjoon has lost like 3 or more pairs of AirPods.
That's just insane AirPods, to me.
Which are not cheap.
No, there's so much money.
Yeah. But also I'm not surprised by that.
No. I mean, this is the man who used to lose his passport. At least that's not as much of an issue, and it's AirPods, you know, something that can be replaced. So that's kind of like how we feel about his personality. Obviously, this is our take on who we think he is as a person, and you know,
and there's
no way
that more to him than that.
Obviously, but this is just kind of an overall general view off the top of our head, how we think and feel about him. Going to get into some interests and hobbies of his, especially things that we really think are prominent since we first talked about him. The first thing that I would say is probably the most, I mean, this created a verb, and that's Namjooning. And Namjooning is going on nature walks, going to museums, biking along the Han River, some self-reflection, a little bit of unplugging from, you know, the world around you and, you know, just being with yourself. And we often get pictures of Namjoon on Twitter of him out Namjooning, and now it's just become a thing whenever ARMY does these activities. You know, often they'll post, I was Namjooning today, you know, went Namjooning today after they explored a museum or something. Really like an enriching activity that is good for mind, body, soul, I feel like,
mind,
is a Namjooning.
Definitely.
Yeah. Another interest of his, and this has kind of become like a, I mean, this has become a meme, but just his love of like crabs and sea creatures in general. Any opportunity that BTS has to be at a beach, he is looking for crabs, he is looking for sea life to interact with, and they just really seem to bring him so much joy. Like,
yeah,
just,
he just
purely make him happy.
So cute.
Yeah.
It's just so random to me. I think crabs are cute too, but he loves walking along beaches and finding crabs, and there's lots of footage of him taking crabs and bringing them close to the camera and like,
you're like,
showing them off.
A crab. Yeah, it's cute. So cute. Yeah.
Another interest that Namjoon has are trees, or just wood and woodworking in general. He doesn't do the woodworking, but he's interested in in wood furniture or pieces of woodwork that have been done.
Yeah.
And I think a big contributor to us getting this insight on his love for trees and woodwork is when he did his studio tour of Archive. And inside Archive, you can see it's just fully decorated with beautiful wood furniture pieces. There's bonsai tree when you walk in. It's really wood everywhere. And that's the main color tone that you get when you walk into Archive. Very earthy and very relaxing and peaceful. But another thing that we noticed too inside his archive were these massive wooden caws. Yeah. And Kaz is an artist. I think it's an American artist who basically does these kind of like character-like models.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this has been a thing that Namjoon and Hoseok have been interested in, but Namjoon has a massive Kaz collection. I mean, just incredibly massive. And so we didn't really get to see as many Kaws in his most recent studio archive, but in old studios, he has like just
wall to
rows
wall.
Upon rows of yeah. like wall filled of these Kaws figurines. It's insane.
But those wooden Kaws that he has in his archive right now are incredible. Like, they're massive. I feel like they're like 2 feet tall. They look like solid wood, like the detailing on them. And like, I mean, they're very, very cool pieces of art, especially for somebody who loves the material wood, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then lastly, for interests or hobbies, is he likes his beer. That was kind of random to throw in there, but we're like, what else does he like? He definitely likes beer.
He does like beer. I mean, who doesn't? Oh, well, you don't.
I don't like beer.
I couldn't even finish that question because I was like, oh yeah. I'm still determined to find a beer that you like because there's so many. There's so many beers.
Do ciders count?
I don't know. Maybe. So I think cider, an ale is a beer, so I think a cider can count as a beer. Why not?
Yeah.
I think it is.
I do like ciders.
Okay.
They're pretty sweet, but I like them.
Yeah, they are sweet. I bet that you would like sour beer.
Yeah.
It's really good.
I think I had a sour beer once when I visited Asheville, North Carolina.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That was the first time I had a sour beer. And it still had a little too much of a beer flavor to me. I don't get the beer flavor with ciders.
Yeah, no, you don't get any like hops or anything with ciders. Anyways, okay, fat beer tangent. I wonder what kind of beer Namjoon really likes. Yeah. Okay, so next we're going to talk about his time during pre-debut, just his time coming up in the underground scene and what he did before he debuted with BTS. And I found this post on Reddit by the user Bapsade, and this is titled RM Pre-Debut History. And what this post ended up being was a incredibly detailed and lengthy just wealth of information, much of which we've never come across before. But they did have sources and they, you know, seemed very well researched. So we're just going to summarize parts of their larger post that really stuck out to us. So Namjoon began rapping in June 2007, and by September, he was already collaborating with other artists. We already mentioned that he's 94 line. So June 2007, he would only be 12. By September, he'd be turning 13. So that is when he started making music. Very young.
Makes me
proud, you know? Like, I feel like he's been working so long. His earliest collab was with Changmo, who's a rapper and producer who actually went on to feature on Saran's Wine, which was produced by Yoongi. And I just think that's such a cool connection just over the years. During that time of them coming up in the underground scene, Changmo went by Lupe. So he'll come up a little bit later.
So Namjoon was active on various underground hip-hop sites. He posted songs to Jungle Radio and Hip Hop Playa, which I am like, how did I not know about these sites at all? It just goes to show that how long he's been around. So unfortunately, he deleted all of his posts on these sites by the time 2010 came around. However, fans have saved and re-uploaded many of the songs, posting them on DC Inside Hip Hop Gallery.
Which we're very thankful for.
Mm-hmm, yeah. So he played around with different stage names, beginning with Runch Ronda, later briefly experimenting with Largo and The Nexus in 2008, which you and I are just blown away by this because we did our whole, you know, our leader episode way back for episode two, had no idea that he went by anything other than Runch Ronda.
Yeah.
But he also went by Largo and The Nexus. And then in 2009, he began going by just Runch. And he was sometimes affectionately called Kim Runch, which, knowing all this information now, it makes me a little bit more understanding of when he was Rap Monster, he changed his name to RM. I'm like, is he going to change his name again?
Maybe.
Is it going to stick?
When he goes through another, like, when he feels like he's entered another era of his life, that he wants to change his name again. Because I do feel like he was really trying to find himself and find something representative of himself with all of these name changes, you know? I want to call him Kim Runch. I want to, like, start calling him that. I think that's cute. Yeah. Okay, so his first ever performance, I never knew this, was with a crew named the Black Pirates. He later left this this group because he felt like they were more focused on fame than actually music, although he did remain friends with many of the members and worked with them later on. Throughout 2008, he started to gain some notoriety, and then he gained even more popularity as the 94 line scene rose. The 94s actually put out a group song without Namjoon. They had asked him to record, but he had been too busy. So interestingly, there were so many comments on the video speaking about the absence of him on the track that Supreme Boy actually had to address it and say, this is why, he was just too busy to record. Wow. And one of the first ever comments on the video, or on the track, was, there's no need for a 94 line song without Runch.
Wow.
He's a big deal back then. I think that speaks to that so much. Yeah. Like, people already are very interested in hearing his music.
Yeah.
Which I think is awesome.
Wow. So in August 2009, Namjoon auditioned for the Big Deal Squad, another rap crew. He passed the preliminary round, but he ultimately did not earn a spot. He said he forgot most of the lyrics and performed poorly. He then at that time stepped away from music and started focusing on his studies. And you and I, we just were like, he kind of gave up his dream at this point.
Yes. And this makes me think of No More Dream, like fucking BTS, No More Dream. And it also made me think back to what you said earlier, which was that by 2010, he had like deleted all of his songs that were on these underground sites. You know, did he... something that this Reddit poster pointed out was that it wasn't like a commonplace for underground artists who turned into idols to go back and delete all of their underground music. Like, many people's underground music is still up and available. So I didn't feel like him signing with Big Hit in 2010 was that reason.
They would have had him do that.
Yeah, so I think that maybe he like really just gave up his dream and just just took down all of his songs and was just like, I'm just gonna re-devote myself to my studies. I'm gonna give up my dream, because he just felt like he did so poorly with this and was just done with music.
Which is interesting, because though he felt he did poorly, a member of the rap duo Untouchable named Sleepy was watching this performance. It's probable that he knew about Namjoon before the performance, because 9 months later, in May of 2010, he called Namjoon to suggest that he meet with Bang PD at Big Hit Entertainment. So maybe he didn't do that bad at this performance because Sleepy noticed him, but it's also possible that he had heard about him prior to that performance. And later on, 9 months later, called him up and was like, hey, you should check out Bang PD and Big Hit Entertainment.
Yeah, don't give up on your dream yet. So ultimately, Big Hit hired him without a plan of what they were going to have him do, without knowing where he would fit into their company. But from this, the formation of BTS began quite slowly. We were surprised to learn that they were originally called BPB, not BTS. Mm-hmm. And this was an acronym for just Bulletproof Boys. So without the Bulletproof Boy Scouts, Bulletproof Boys with a Z at the end. Wow. We actually have an entire episode on the formation process of BTS along with their life before debut. So we're really not going to go further into it right now. If you would like specifics, if you haven't listen to the episode yet, check it out. It's episode 53. It's called Trainee Life. But anyways, while Namjoon was signed with Big Hit, he did actually continue to work on music and to perform. During this time, the 94 line participated in 3 different concerts called DNH concerts, and he participated in all 3 of those with the rest of the 94s who were coming up, even though he was already signed.
Yeah. Busy guy, really busy guy, but he definitely has commitment and follows through with a lot of people. So by 2012, BTS's lineup had been finalized and Namjoon was working on songs for BTS's debut, but he was also writing songs for Big Hit Entertainment's first, very, very first group called GLAM, which is actually a girl group. And honestly, though it's not BTS related, it would be really interesting for us to do an episode on GLAM. And just if you guys are interested, let us know. Because GLAM was a very short period of time. But Namjoon worked on their songs Party XXL and I Like That. So he ultimately has a huge history. He was well known in the underground rap scene at the age of, I mean, as early as the age of 12, 13. So it's really just incredible to learn all of this information about him because we had no idea. So coming across this Reddit post by Bepsade, it's titled RM Pre-Debut History. That was like revolutionary coming across this. So definitely go check out that Reddit post if you want to know even more specifics.
Link in the Google Doc to make it easy for you.
Oh, yeah. It's in the Google Doc if you're a $1 patron.
This Google Doc has like so many links, okay? Lots of links. Like innumerable. And you could totally go dissect this information along with us if you wanted to.
We also have linked for you, Iconics, a full list of all the pre-debut songs that Namjoon is known to have written and recorded. And so if you want to check that out, definitely there's a link that you can find a list of all the pre-debut songs.
Yeah, and I think that list might also have individual links where you could then go and listen to all of those pre-debut songs. So that's pretty incredible that that collection exists in one place. Okay, so let's talk about his role in BTS. We've already kind of touched on that he's officially titled as the leader. If you're not familiar, traditionally in K-pop, each member, when a group debuts, kind of has a title, like leader or lead vocalist or lead rapper, main dancer, visual, etc. So Namjoon is officially titled as the leader. He is often a translator in interview settings because he speaks English. So for a long time, he has kind of fulfilled that role, you know, on a red carpet or just on a talk show or whatever. He is also one of BTS's main lyricists and producers. We could just rant and rave all day, which is what we're about to do about songs that he has written and produced, because he definitely has his own sound and vibe, and BTS would not be what it is without him. Let's be honest.
Yeah. So some of the songs that I really think of when I listen to them that I feel that Namjoon really speaks to the song or really worked on the song a lot, I think of Spring Day and mm-hmm. Bepsae. Spring mm-hmm. Day, I think, really was that poetic, beautiful lyrics that he had the potential to do that he had been doing up to that point. But I felt like Spring Day was really where he got to let that poetic lyricist come out. And Spring Day is just timeless at this
queen.
Point. It's a queen. She rules. And then Bepsae, the reason I think of Bepsae with Namjoon is because of the societal expectations yes. and the difference in status and age. I felt like he had a lot of say in that. I do think that Yoongi had a lot of say in that too, which you can really say Yoongi has a handful of collaboration in all these songs too. But I just really right. felt I got this from when I listened to Bepsae. I really feel Namjoon's lyrics in that song.
Just the societal, like the arguing with societal constructs that mm-hmm. happens in the lyrics of that song with the relation of like the crow tit and, you know, everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really does. It's things that he has always talked about in his own personal lyrics or verses where he's mm-hmm. talking about these kind of inequalities in society. And yeah. I think that that's always been a passion of his. So I definitely agree with you. Two songs that I really, really feel like obviously are representative of him are Reflection from the Wings album and Trivial Love from Love Yourself Answer. Mm-hmm. These songs are his solo songs. I feel like Reflection is so heartfelt and so raw and emotional and definitely yeah. like that poetic style of writing that he does. And I felt like that's when another time when he's being really selfless and just really sharing all that he has in that song. And then with Trivial Love, this is just a song that he made out of pure desire to truly connect with ARMY on stage during concerts and to feel that love between ARMY and between BTS. And I just think that it's an incredible song and definitely, you know, a Namjoon song.
It's definitely an Namjoon song. And I love that these are both his solo tracks that happened really one right after the other, but how different they are from one another, the contrast between the two.
Yeah.
But both very much Namjoon, especially when you get into the lyrics of Reflection. You just really see the ideas of loving oneself start to sprout. And before we know it, we have a whole Love Yourself series that follows. Very cool.
Definitely, for sure.
No More Dream, easily. And I hate that I picked this one.
But it's an obvious choice. Yeah.
Yeah, their debut song. In a lot of their earlier stuff, I just hear so much Namjoon influence in their early music. And which is interesting to me because we hear all of his RM behinds now for the whole, all the Love Yourself albums. And even now getting into Map of the Soul, he has these behinds. So he's clearly still producing and writing lyrics for all these songs. But for some reason, those early songs, I just hear him. I really hear his presence in them, especially No More Dream.
I feel like No More Dream and Bepsae are kind of in that same thematic realm. And I do agree with you that a lot of their early work, you can really hear his voice because really at that time you have to think about, it wasn't all of BTS contributing to the lyrics and the themes and the topics as much as they are now, because a lot of them didn't have the experience in that like Namjoon and like Yoongi did. So it was really, you know, strongly their two voices at the beginning in what they talked about and what they wanted to address. And so I feel like No More Dream is definitely that. I mean, we already fucking talked about like he fucking lost his dream, you know? A lot of the Dark and Wild album too, just definitely has that vibe. Just kind of the questioning society and
could be because he's also the intro for Dark and Wild.
Yeah, that's true. He kind of sets the tone for the album. Mm-hmm. But when we were scrolling through the album, we were just like, I feel like so many of these songs feel like him, you know?
Yeah.
2-3 is another song that comes to mind when I think about things that he has had a big hand in. Kind of goes along with Spring Day to me, just because it's an emotional song. It's a song meant to, it's like a poem to Army, to, you know, meant to give comfort. And I just feel like that's right up his alley too.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah. I also think of Serendipity, Singularity, and Euphoria. Not Epiphany. And honestly, when we were looking up the songs that Namjoon has worked on, Epiphany was not on that list. But when I think of Serendipity, Singularity, and Euphoria, I really think of Arms Behind for all of those songs, because I felt he had a lot to say. He had a lot to say about them, because he wrote these songs for the Maknaes. And it just goes to show his skill, how he can be so poetic, and all of these songs have a lot of meaning but cater to these members specifically. Just his talent. He's definitely a songwriter, one of the best.
Oh yeah. I mean, one of the best, incredibly gifted. And I also can't help but to bring up again that the amount of time and listening that it took for him to be able to interpret what the Maknae line wanted to portray in their intro songs. And I feel like he really represented each one of them so well. Like, oh my gosh, how many times we talk about Singularity and how just perfect that song is for Taeyong in every way, in
so perfect.
Every single way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Another song that we think a lot about is that hidden track C from Love Yourself Her. It's another one of those life's uneasy, life's uncertain right now, but like, you know, in a desert, you gave me a C, and talking about the ocean, and, you know, definitely another one of those healing tracks, that just didn't quite make it onto the full album.
The album, yeah. He is such a way with words, and that he's able to be a songwriter and present his words in this lyrical form is such a great gift. Another song I really think of that is more of an upbeat song is Idol.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because right off the bat, they call me artist. They call me Idol. You just... Namjoon's presence with this song, but I really do think of the lyrics and kind of his questioning of himself and just all the name changes and everything. He's definitely shown interest in like what people call him or see him as, and what he calls himself and sees himself as. I think it's something it's a common theme that he's brought up in a lot of his music, and I felt that Idol was really showing a lot of that, especially there at the beginning with his verse.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I feel like that theme even continues into the last song that we really feel like that we're talking about today, at least, is Intro Persona, because this is, I mean, his most recent intro. This song is fully, you know, really trying to investigate and discover who you are, really questioning what your persona is, how all of your different personas might come together and create you as a person. And not only is this question deeply philosophical, which we feel is so Namjoon, but it's that further exploration of who am I, like idol. Am I
self.
An idol? Am I an artist? The exploration of self. I just love that poetic deepness is what we see throughout all of his songs.
He is definitely one of the best producers and songwriters of all time. I can say that with much confidence.
Yes. I'm not arguing that point. Definitely not.
All right. So let's go ahead and get into his solo projects. And this is since February 2018. So since we did our last Namjoon episode, our leader for our second episode, he's now since released a lot of other things. So one of those things includes Mono, which is his most recent mixtape from October 2018. And he released it when I was on my honeymoon in Hawaii. And I was like, hold up, there's a BTS album coming out while I'm like in Hawaii on my honeymoon. I remember that. But we have an entire episode on mono, guys. Go check it out. It's episode 43. Holy shit, that was a long time ago. But definitely go check it out.
Oh, yeah.
Another song that he did for solo projects is from November 2018. He worked with Tiger JK on a track for his final album under the name Drunken Tiger. And that song was titled Timeless, which mm-hmm. I have not really listened much to. But before we went in for research, we listened to it together and it was incredible. And I think what you were kind of, maybe you want to touch on this.
Yeah. Just not what Drunken Tiger, he's now called Tiger JK. What he said later about this song, because this was his last album underneath the name Drunken Tiger before he changed to Tiger JK. And it was kind of like this end of this massive era because he's a legend in the, you know, rap world. He was just like, I expected Namjoon's verse to be about himself, because a lot of rap, especially features on rap nowadays, is very self-focused. And but it wasn't. It was all about Tiger JK, and it was a tribute to him. And you know, he just spent the entire verse just talking about how much of a role model he is, and at the end of it he even called him dad. It was just cool. Like, you could see Namjoon's admiration for him, and I think he definitely got respect from Tiger JK in that he wrote an honest verse and, you know, wasn't being egotistical in the verse. He was, oh, I'm going to write a tribute. He could have been, he could have written anything. I just really love that. In March of 2019, he provided a feature on Han's Crying Over You remake. This is cool because he first discovered Han on Twitter, and he was really excited to be able to collaborate with them for his mono mixtape. He collabed on the song Soul. So it was cool that then later on, like over a year later, he was able to collab with them on their music.
Yeah, very neat.
He also, in July 2019, he was the fourth official Old Town Road remix with Lil Nas X.
Incredible.
Awesome. And then in January 2020, most recently, he featured on Yoonha's Winter Flower, which is such a beautiful song.
Beautiful song. I love that song so much.
Yeah, they did such an incredible job with it.
He's definitely done a lot of other solo projects, but like we said, this is just since February of 2018. If you're interested in knowing more of his solo projects, go back and listen to our second episode.
Yeah.
So lastly, as we are kind of wrapping up this episode, we're going to just share some of our favorite Kim Namjoon moments. And we're just really going from February of 2018, some of these moments from since then.
We wanted to be current with you guys, you know?
Yeah, we're being current. We're trying to, you know, not think about the past too much, things that have happened more recently. So one of my favorite things, and I've said this so many times on the podcast, that Namjoon does are his RM behinds. And what I love in these RM behinds is just how he gets to interact with ARMY and tell us a lot about the albums, but also how he's kind of shady to the other members when they come in and just crash in his V-Lives. We talk a lot about this in the V-Live crashes, but I felt the need to bring it up again just because it is some of my favorite content for Namjoon.
Yeah, I think we always so much look forward to his behinds. Mm-hmm. One of my all-time favorite moments, and this is more of like a when Namjoon wrecks me, I become a hard stan and I just fangirl, is during the Lil Nas X Grammy performance. Okay, all of BTS was included. They did an incredible job. We know this. Mm-hmm. But Namjoon looks so fucking hot. Like, his slicked back hair unworldly. And his glasses, just unreal. And he just rocked it. I mean, his stage presence was contributing to just how incredibly sexy.
Turned all the way up. Wow. He was incredible. Yeah. I love that you brought that one up.
Never will be over it. something else that I've already kind of talked about, but these are my favorite things, are his Namjooning selfies and photos that he posts on Twitter during or after he does a Namjooning thing. I just think that Army really enjoys seeing these. I always enjoy seeing these. And it reminds me to take some time out of my day to do something like this whenever I see his post.
His outfits are always just beautiful too. And he has a gorgeous backdrop because he's out in nature.
Always.
It's just the best. Those photos are the best.
Yeah.
One of my favorite moments for Namjoon that I think is so sweet and really shows his character and his dynamic with the members is from, of course, Bon Voyage. So from Bon Voyage 4, when they were in New Zealand, there is this moment where Namjoon goes in and he wakes up different members. And the way that he goes about waking up the members is different from one another. And I think it just shows how well he knows them and how to successfully get them up. So when he goes in to wake up Taeyang, he goes in and he turns the lights on and he abruptly removes the blanket from Taeyang. Like, this is the only way he's going to get up. If I don't take away this blanket, he's just going to go back to sleep. When he goes in to wake up Jungkook and Jimin, he just turns the lights on and is like, get up. And then when he goes in to wake up Jin, he doesn't even turn the lights on. He just is like, you getting up? And Jin's like, yep, I'm getting up. And then he walks out. So cute. it's just cute seeing him know his members so well.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I love that he just knows those details. And, you know, of course he does by now, right? But the fact that he takes the time to individualize how he's going to wake them up. Mm-hmm. I've already kind of talked about Namjoon and Jimin discussing Promise in the Break the Silence episode, which I think is one of my all-time new favorite moments, because that was so cool to see. I just love the teacher and Namjoon come out, the creative genius, the emotional intelligence, everything coming out in that moment. I just love. I think it's so cool that we got to see that. But during research, what I had thought about before I got to see that episode was during Bon Voyage 3, when Namjoon and Jimin were discussing Promise at a cafe table, and they were doing it for so long, and he was just really listening to all of Jimin's things that he was discussing about it and asking and wondering about. And then afterwards they went and watched fireworks, which is just so cute. But
he's so supportive.
He is so supportive, and he takes, you know, just the time that he takes out to help other people, you know, and to be a confidant, I just think is special.
Yeah, very special. So another favorite moment of mine for Namjoon is when he went and saw these, I don't know, he was shopping or something, and he found these baby shoes that he just thought were so cute. So he bought them. He has no reason really to, like, no functional reason to buy these baby shoes other than he just thinks they're cute. Yeah. And he showed Army these little shoes that are very cute. But going off of that, there was an interview too where BTS were asked, like, what they want to be. And Namjoon says that he wants to be a dad someday. And what makes this moment even cuter is the little Namgi interaction where Yoongi's kind of lounging in the chair that he's sitting in. And he kind of points over at Namjoon and says, you can. In English, he says, you can. You can so be a cute. Dad. And I think a lot of ARMYs find it's so endearing and so sweet and so cute that he wants to be a dad, and he's the type of guy to go out and see a pair of baby shoes and has no real reason to buy them other than
he just thinks they're cute.
He just thinks they're cute. Yeah.
Love it. I will never be over Yoongi saying, you can.
You can.
Oh, yeah. It's so cute. Okay. So I have to address
big switch
Nam-titties.
Here.
Big switch, right? Nam titties is a term that I feel like was coined in March of 2019. People probably talked about it before then, but to me, this is where it all began, where it became way more prominent on social media, where the thirst for Namjoon's chest and the definition and just everything going on became so real. And it started with a Bangtan bomb titled Standing in Front of the Window. So basic. And he's wearing like this white long sleeve, like thin shirt. And it is just cupping. I mean, it is just tight and fitted. And I mean, it's so incredible. And even other members are in the area wearing like the same white shirt, but it doesn't even matter because like he's right here with his whole chest just, wow, really it's, standing out.
It's form-fitting and it's white, and that lighting that he's in front of these windows, you see.
Yeah.
Yeah, cupping. That's a good word.
But really, any time that he's performing like or wearing like a sheer shirt or wearing anything form-fitting that we get to see his his chest is a great Namtiti moment.
Yeah, his pectoral muscles are good.
A1. Oh, yeah.
So one of my all-time favorite looks for Namjoon is from the 2019 Grammys. He looked great at the 2020 Grammys as well, but for the 2019 Grammys, when he was like going on the red carpet and doing interviews, he had like that cummerbund on.
yeah,
and his hair was gray and kind of, it was slicked back and parted and forehead was fully exposed. And then he also had these really handsome glasses that he was wearing. He looked absolutely stunning, jaw-dropping, just gorgeous.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I this is an iconic look for him. I feel just everything that he is wearing is just working perfectly for him. And
powerful.
He's so I remember everybody was calling him daddy after this, but I want to talk about just real quickly whenever he performed Dionysus. Okay. I remember specifically talking about the performance where he's just walking out, like power walking to the front of the stage and then like slamming that staff onto the ground. Yeah. So iconic, so iconic. Powerful. Mm-hmm. He is glaring at the camera. He is possessing everyone in the room. And specifically when he hops up on the table with his staff right at the beginning in that robe and the staff and just the power and the energy that he has going on is just iconic. There's no other way to say it.
It is iconic. Yeah. I love how powerful he's presented in that part for Dionysus, for sure. Yeah. So lastly, I think this is what deserves to be talked about as we wrap up this episode. And truly, this is one of the most iconic, memorable, one of the most proud moments we all kind of think of when we think of Namjoon is the United Nations speech given at the UN General Assembly.
Yeah.
So if you guys are new to BTS, if you're a new ARMY, definitely go and watch the BTS Kim Namjoon speech at the United Nations General Assembly, because he gives the entire speech in English, which is crazy, but it's like the UN. He's speaking at the United Nations about loving ourselves, and the speak yourself concept is when this really starts to come out. This is, he talks about how BTS had teamed up with UNICEF and doing the Love Myself campaign. He goes in to talk about growing up in a city, in a town outside of Seoul, and kind of what his childhood was like and dreaming as a kid, and just what goes into loving yourself. And I mean, really, the speech is
incredible. He even talks about at one point stopping you know, not dreaming anymore, you know, mm-hmm. and kind of losing himself in that. And he says, you know, we all do this and we become like ghosts. And mm-hmm. then he sets out for the rest of the speech on that kind of importance of the self-discovery, of the discovery of how to love yourself and of how important of a task that is to do in your life. Yeah, I love this speech. I think this is truly one of the most important things that BTS has ever done. The fact that they spoke their message at the United Nations, I think, is absolutely incredible.
It makes you proud. It makes you proud because they're not just a K-pop group. And Namjoon really is kind of the spokesman for the group, being the leader of the group. But to go in and write this speech and perfect it and practice it and speak at such a large assembly of world leaders really goes to show just how relevant he is and just how much of a leader he is in today's society. I can't imagine being... like, if Namjoon is your bias and just, I'm proud, we're all proud as armies, but man, he's such an incredible human being. I can't believe that he's real, that he exists, and that he is the way he is. He's just so humble, so selfless, just a natural born leader. He's an incredible songwriter. I really do put him up there with Lennon and McCartney. Mm-hmm. He's incredible. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, he's poetic and deep and, you know, profound. And he truly has something to say. You know, I think that's why he's making music. Not only is he incredibly gifted and talented at making music that sounds good, that people want to listen to, but he makes music, he makes art that people are going to connect with on an emotional level, on a spiritual level, because of his lyrics and because of his honesty that he puts into it. And I feel like we're so lucky to know him and to be able to experience what he has to offer right now in the world, like in real time. I absolutely love him.
Me too.
Yeah. Wow.
Thank you, Kim Namjoon.
Kim Namjoon, thank you. Mm-hmm. Oh, you guys, this has been such a fun episode. We hope that you enjoyed it. If you did enjoy it, you can let us know by writing a review on iTunes, on Apple Podcasts. You could also email us or reach out to us on any of our social media platforms to let us know what you thought about this episode. We love to hear your feedback, your constructive criticism, anything that you feel like needs to be said about Namjoon that we didn't mention. Tweet it at us and we will retweet you and let other iconics know about that moment or that thing. And yeah, thank you guys for being here this week. Again, reach out to us on social media or on email, and you can find links for all of those things in the description.
Thanks for listening, and thanks for standing BTS.